Thank you, Ruth, for reading. I want to start with a really cheerful question to, as we begin our service. And it's this, coming up on the screen, hopefully. Does humanity have a future? Does humanity have a future? In our morning services, we're going through these early chapters in Genesis. And the kids groups are doing the same thing at the same time. One of the things Kev and I have had to wrestle with is, how do we get these stories across to our young people? And Noah's Ark is a favourite story, isn't it, for children's Bibles? You know, that the animals go in two by two, hurrah. And it's lovely illustrations. And you can imagine my children ask me every night, oh, Daddy, can we have our favourite Bible story, or which do you want? Oh, Noah's Ark, can we have Noah's Ark? You say, yes, of course, such a lovely story where almost everyone drowns. And yet we treat it as a children's story, don't we? It's the logo for the first school next door, Noah's Ark. It's not really a great children's story, or it is in some ways, but it's certainly relevant to all of us, isn't it? Not just for children. Floods and storms, rising sea levels, we see it all on the news, don't we? The melting of the ice caps. You know, does humanity have a future? We're becoming more and more aware of the way that things like the burning of fossil fuels since the Industrial Revolution is having an effect now. The cost of our greed is being seen. So there's a threat from the environment. But it's not just that, is it? In the past 100 years, we've developed nuclear weapons. I don't like to think about it, but they're out there, aren't they, in the world? And it's not just Britain and France and the states that control them. It's other countries as well have them. India, Pakistan, China, North Korea, Russia, perhaps Israel as well. And so as we look at world news and we see wars happening, we might well ask, does humanity have a future? Since COVID, there are other threats we're more aware of as well, isn't there, that make us anxious. And then there's the safeguards we're trying to put on artificial intelligence. Most of us won't be experts about any of those things, but there's enough to make us anxious, isn't there, when we look at the news, anxious about where the world is going. But I've got good news this morning, and the good news is I can tell you 100% certain that humanity does have a future. Isn't that good news this morning? When we think about all those things. When we look at the story of Noah's Ark, we're able to face the possibility of extinction in the face and see that actually God is Lord over the storm and that he has a plan to save a people for himself. So we're going to pray and then we're going to look at this story. Heavenly Father, this is a story for us, not just for the children. Please help us as we look at it to find hope, to see that you are the Lord, the King over all, and that you are our Saviour as we trust in you. Amen. Last week we were doing Cain and Abel, and we saw that they were Adam and Eve's children. Adam and Eve turned away from God in Genesis 3, didn't they? They ate the fruit. And then Genesis 4, the sin and the violence spreads. And so tragically, Cain kills Abel. Then Cain fears for his own life that he'll be a victim of violence. And by the end of chapter 4, we saw Lamech, who is a very violent man. If anyone even crosses him, he'll kill them. And so we get this image of sin and violence spreading throughout the world. So much so that when you get to chapter 6, it's a very bleak picture. And at verse 5 of chapter 6, the Lord saw how great the wickedness of the human race had become on the earth, and that every inclination of the thoughts of the human heart was only evil all the time. It's very sad. And the Lord regretted that he had made human beings on the earth. His heart was deeply troubled. It's when you pour your heart into a project, maybe at work or at home, you pour your heart into it and then someone ruins it. It's heartbreaking, isn't it? I think of our oldest daughter, you know, carefully colouring at the table, colouring within the lines, carefully choosing one colour after another so it all matches perfectly. And then our toddler comes over when she's distracted, grabs a crayon and just all over it. It's heartbreaking, isn't it? Genesis 6 says, imagine how God feels as he sees what we see on the news. He made this world. He formed each person in his image. How does God feel as he looks at the world? But the flood reminds us, and this is the first thing I want us to take away, that God is not powerless in the face of human evil. God is not powerless in the face of human evil. If God created the world in Genesis chapter 1, if we believe that, then we must also believe that God can recreate the world. And that's what he does through the flood in Genesis 7 as the flood waters come up, and then in Genesis 8 as the flood waters come down. Genesis 7, he's decreating the world. So there's, if you remember in the days of creation, day 2, God separates the water above from the water below by the sky. And then day 3, he separates the water into the sea and so that the land appears. But then Genesis 7, it kind of reverses that. So in Genesis 7, verse 11, on that day, all the springs of the deep burst forth and the floodgates of the heavens were opened. As the water comes back, the earth is covered again. So God decreates the world. And then in Genesis 8, as the flood waters come back, it's like there's a new world. And no one can see it being recreated because Noah and his family and the animals are all in the ark. But God is recreating the world. And so then when they step out of the ark, it's all new. And God says to them, be fruitful and increase in number, just like he said at the beginning. So the story of Noah and the ark, in a sense, is a story of recreation. It's a new start for the world. And it reminds us that God is not powerless in the face of human evil. I think sometimes we imagine that God sits there in heaven with his head in his hands going, oh, I wish I could do something about the world. Because that's how we feel, isn't it? We watch the news and we go, oh, I wish I could do something, but we're powerless. And sometimes we project that onto God, don't we? We could empathize a bit with that, couldn't we? And yet that's not how the Bible presents God. God is the great creator of heaven and earth. He is not powerless. God can do something about the evil in our world. And the Bible says he is going to. We've got a verse up coming up on the screen that Jesus said. This is Jesus helping us to understand about Noah for our day. As it was in the days of Noah, so it will be at the coming of the Son of Man, says Jesus. For in the days before the flood, people were eating and drinking, marrying, giving in marriage, up to the day Noah entered the ark, and they knew nothing about what would happen until the flood came and took them all away. Jesus is reminding us that God does have the power to step into human history and to change everything and to bring evil to an end. If we imagine that God is like some old man in the sky, just kind of with regrets, oh, I wish things were different. Well, it doesn't really matter if you ignore him. I mean, if he's powerless, well, does it matter? Some people think that God, if there is a God, is like that. He's powerless. And so they try and change the world themselves. They think, oh, it's all down to us as humans. We've got to do the best we can. Other people think, well, I'll just ignore God. I'll just enjoy life while I can. Make the best of a bad job. And yet as Christians, we believe that there is a God who cares and who can and will do something about it. And so our first response to the evil in the world should not be either to think, it's down to us to fix it, or forget the world, I'll just enjoy myself. It's to pray. We believe that there is a God who is powerful. And that's why the Bible is filled with these incredible prayers of people crying out, Sovereign Lord, creator of the heavens and earth, do something. Look at the world. How long, Lord? Send justice. Let your kingdom come, we pray. Send Jesus, your son, to rule in power. So as Christians, as we look at our world, our first response must be to pray because, well, God is powerful. He is sovereign over all things and he can act. So the first kind of big thing I want to take away is that God is not powerless in the face of human evil. And the second thing, if we have it up on the screen, is that we live only by the grace of God. We live only by the grace of God. And we see that in Noah and his family. And Noah was obedient to God, but he wasn't perfect. That wasn't why he was saved. If you were to read right to the end of the story of Noah, at the end of Genesis chapter 9, Noah comes out of the ark, plants a vineyard, gets the wine, gets drunk, and it all goes wrong again in the world. It doesn't last very long, God's new creation. They didn't normally put that bit in the children's Bibles, do they? We like the idea, oh, and then God recreated the world and they all lived happily ever. No, it goes wrong straight away because humans are like that, aren't we? In chapter 8, as soon as Noah comes out of the ark, God knows that it's not going to be all happy. So chapter 8 and verse 18, actually we'll go from verse 21. God has to promise, never again will I curse the ground because of humans, even though every inclination of the human heart is evil from childhood. He knows that humanity hasn't changed. Noah is the same as everyone else. Noah is going to mess things up, just as we all do. But God promises, by his grace, never again will I destroy all living creatures, as I have done. As long as the earth endures, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night, will never cease. We've got to remember, humanity hasn't changed. We're all still like they were before the flood. We mess up God's beautiful world, but because of God's grace, he decides not to destroy us again. And he makes this amazing promise that creation will be stable. There'll be all the things that we need for life. There'll be seed time and harvest. There'll be day and night, cold and warm. God promises that it won't be the environment that wipes us all out, which is a big encouragement, isn't it? Not because we're good, not because we take care of our environment as we should, but because God is gracious. He promises that he will continue to sustain life. And in response to that, God gives Noah instructions in chapter 9 that he is to value life. Just as God graciously sustains life, we are to value life. And so in chapter 9, verse 4, he's given them permission to eat meat. But verse 4, you must not eat meat that has its lifeblood still in it. And for your lifeblood, I will surely demand an accounting. I will demand an accounting from every animal and from each human being too. I will demand an accounting for the life of another human being. Whoever sheds human blood, life should not be cheap. By human shall their blood be shed, for in the image of God has God made mankind. God wants us to realize how precious life is. We live only by his grace. If we understand the story of Noah, we realize that God would be completely within his rights just to wipe us all out again. It's not that we are better than they were in those days. God would be completely within his rights to do that, and we would have no complaint before him. It's only by his grace that we continue to live. It's by his grace that he gives us air and food and everything that we need. And that has a consequence. If God has chosen not to destroy us, then we must value life too. We can't be careless about life. We're in creation. We can't carelessly destroy creation because God is, by his grace, is sustaining creation. And particularly human life. We must treasure human life because God has made us in his image. And God has chosen to sustain life. And so we must value it too. So to kind of sum up what Noah is saying to us this morning. So firstly, God is not powerless in the face of human evil. And we live only by the grace of God. And so as we think about the kind of future of humanity, that gives us great hope. Because the Bible, as we read on, says that God has a plan for another Noah's Ark. The name Noah means rest or comfort. And in the New Testament, Noah's Ark is compared to the church. It picks up on this idea of how Jesus dying on the cross keeps us safe for a new creation. I wonder if you've ever looked up at the roof of the church. You're very welcome to do that now. And as you see the beams, they kind of remind us of a boat. I don't know if you know what this main part of the church is called. Do you know what it's called? It's called the nave, which comes from the word for boat. So it's like we're sitting in the ark. By God's grace, he's found a way to save us. And because of Jesus' obedience, dying on the cross for us, by his blood, he keeps us safe. And we are kept safe for a new creation. As we think about that, it changes how we view the whole of life. So maybe you're watching the news tonight at, it's not at 10 o'clock on a Sunday, I don't know, what time is it? If you're on your app, let's be cool, if you're on your app scrolling through BBC News, and you see that, you know, there's wars going on between countries that have nuclear weapons, and you see that there are environmental disasters in the world, and you see that there's kind of threats from new technology that's going to make us all redundant. How do we feel? We feel anxious, don't we? What do we need to do? We need to remember that God is king over the storm. He is the one who created this world. He's the one who sustains our life. And he is the one who has decided to save us. As we feel the kind of anxiety rising in us, we can remember we are safe in Jesus' ark. And just as Noah stood at the door, calling in his family, calling in those animals, Jesus stands at the door and he calls to us, come to me and I will give you rest. And we are safe, kept safe for ultimately that new creation on the day that Jesus returns. So let's pray, and then we're going to sing our final song that speaks of that grace that we find in Jesus. Heavenly Father, we want to pray to you as the God who is powerful. Thank you that you don't sit in heaven unable to do anything, but rather you one day are going to recreate heaven and earth. Thank you that in your mercy you're sustaining all life. Thank you for that opportunity it's given each of one of us to hear about Jesus and to hear him call us into his ark so that we might be safe in this wonderful place of grace through his death on the cross. And so please help us as we see the world around us. Please help us to trust you, to pray. Please help us to value life around us. And please help us to find that rest and safety in Jesus, knowing that in him we are completely safe. We pray in his name. Amen.